My name is Bulifile Sefako, the chairperson of the Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources. And I'm representing Northwest. I'll give over to honorable members to introduce themselves.
Good morning. My name is Kiswani, a member of the committee, province of the Eastern Cape.
Good morning, Bayer Smith Lampapa.
Good morning. My name is Omi Singh, member of the committee, coming from the warmest province, KwaZulu-Natal. Very warm.
Good morning. I'm Julius, a member of the committee, Gauteng.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Corbis Huster, content advisor of the committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Alistair Power. I'm the committee secretary. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I will hand over to the deputy minister of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries to introduce the team that is here.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable member. Thank you very much for having us. That's the first time I appeared before the committee. It's a great pleasure for me to be part of the family. And, Chair, let me start by apologizing for the minister and the director general that are both appearing before the portfolio committee at the same time. So delighted for the double booking and double parking. So I'm here with the team that is from led by Joe Abuko.
Honorable DM, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, colleagues, my name is Joe Hobokwe. I'm the Deputy Director General responsible for policy planning, monitoring, and evaluation in the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, DM, and other members. I'm Lydia Bufuga from the Department of Agriculture.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable DM. My name is Julian Yafta. I'm responsible for plant production and health in DAF. Thank you.
Good morning, DM, Honorable Member. My name is Mimi Muluzi. I'm responsible for strategic planning at DAF.
Good morning, honorable members of the DM and Dumiso Kumete, head of the DM's office.
Morning, honorable members, deputy minister. My name is Eldam Chisa, responsible for conditional grants, CAPS, and animal reminder.
My name is Kanti Nagia from DAF.
Morning, GM, Chairperson. My name is Tim Middleton. I'm the Chief Director of Fisheries Operations.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, GM, Honorable Members. My name is Craig Smith, Director for Small Scale Fisheries Management at Fisheries Management.
Good morning, DM, honorable members. My name is Andrea Bernatida. I'm at the Operation Pakisa Delivery Unit for Aquaculture in DAF.
My name is Patience, Land Officer Malanga.
Good morning, Chair members. My name is Owen Janssen. I'm the DM.
Good morning,
Chair members.
My name is Owen Janssen. I'm the
DM.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Manja Stoli, payroll to the Deputy Minister.
Good morning, committee members, chairperson and deputy minister. My name is Ivan Collier. I'm a consultant for PMG.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Noma Tulisa Mafani, Director General's Office. Thank you.
Good morning, TM. Honorable members, Mohale Sebupa is my name. Responsible for farmer support and development, the Western Cape Department of Agriculture.
Good morning, Chair, TM. Honourable members, the name is Darryl Jacobs, Deputy Director General, Western Cape Department of Agriculture.
Chair, I think that's it. As you can see from DAF, we've got the full page.
It's a full house.
No, thank you very much. Let's proceed with our business. I've got three apologies, honorable members, honorable Pakis, honorable Connie, and honorable Prince. Those are the three apologies that I'm having from honorable members. We will proceed with our agenda. Before the department can make a presentation, we've got two bills, final mandate. I think we'll continue with those two bills because they are also affecting from the department. I will start alphabetically, starting with the Eastern Cape to reach our final mandate.
Thank you very much, Chair. The province of the Eastern Cape votes in favor of the bill with amendment. Thank you.
The next one will be Free State. Thank you very much, honorable members. The Free State. Free State. The Free State Legislature votes in favor of the bill. We'll go to Gauteng. Thank you, Chair. Gauteng is voting in favor of the bill. Thank you. Thank you very much. KwaZulu-Natal.
Thank you, Chair. KZN supports the bill with the amendments.
Popo. Lampapa supports the bill with amendments.
Thank you. Mpumalanga?
Thank you, Chair. Mpumalanga vote in favor of the bill.
Right. Northern Cape? Got that same vote. Western Cape?
The Western Cape Provincial Parliament confers on the Western Cape's delegation in the National Council of Provinces the authority not to support the bill.
thank you, members. In keeping with the rules, we need five provinces to support the bill goes through this committee. Currently, we have six that support and one that does not support. The chairperson will now read the report on the plant improvement bill.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Report of the Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources on the Plant Improvement Bill, BAP 2015. The Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources, having deliberated on and considered the subject of the Plant Improvement Bill, BAP 2015, National Assembly, Section 7.6, referred to it and classified by the joint taking mechanism as a Section 7.6 bill, reports that it has agreed to an amended bill, BAP 2015. Thank you very much. Do you have any proposal and second?
I support you.
Thank you very much.
Chair?
Thank you. Honorable Sebastian?
I just want to ask, at what stage does the committee make it clear that if when the bill goes to the House that we want to debate on that? Is that the chairperson or the committee has to indicate whether we want to debate the bill when it goes to the House or not? Thank you.
I'm not sure whether honorable members want to propose that the bill need to be debated at the House. Okay. Honorable Smith?
I take the proposal by the honorable Labaskakhni.
As to whether the honorable member is he proposing that this bill should be debated in the House of Mine.
Yes, Chair, I would propose that the Select Committee debate the bill when it goes to the House.
Okay, that's fine. Second, your second. Our second bill.
Maybe you can assist me. I know that it's our right to agree whether we want to present the bill and debate it in the House. But maybe you can clarify me, because we know the mandate of our different provinces. And if it's going to be presented by the chairperson, and then as we're going to be allowed to do declaration as provinces in terms of our own mandate, what would be wrong with that process?
I think it's subject to the honorable members
I'd like to engage on that.
If that is the case, Chair, I'll propose that let it be presented, and then we're going to be allowed as provinces to deal with the declaration of vote if we so wish, and so be it.
Honorable Chair, yes, I'm in agreement with that, because we have sufficiently debated it in the committee here, and we fleshed it out actually, and made the amendments necessary. We can. That's why I say I support the proposal of the Chair of Chairs that we the report be read out by the Chairperson and then vote by provinces.
We have two views. If there are two views, I'll be left with nothing but to say. To vote on the views. Be it debated or not to be debated. Okay. Can I?
Can I just, for clarity reason, like to comment before we vote?
What is it?
Chairperson, it is so that when a bill has been proposed, the report of the committee has been read, and then we can make a declaration. But that report doesn't give the public, because the public is listening to the debates in the House. The whole public is not sitting in the select committee. There's a fraction of the public represented in this committee where we are busy with lawmaking. So a three-minute declaration doesn't give you the full scope to debate the bill. And whether this bill has been supported by those provinces, it's not enough reason to say that you cannot debate the bill. Because that means that if that is the reason that we're going to use, that none of the Section 76 bills will ever be debated. And we know that very few bills have ever been amended by the process that we're following. So there's no feedback on to the public participations or to the people who take part in public participation processes why things are not being amended the way it has been proposed. Thank you.
No, thanks. There are two contesting views. So I'm left with nothing but to vote. Okay. Those that say it should be debated, can we raise your hand? Should be debated. One, two, three. Those that say no to be. Sorry?
Chair,
I think we have made a voting. Can we continue with the voting? We are not going to debate that. Raise your hand.
Because we do not have to speak.
The law is overruling, so we are not going to. Thank you very much.
Just a point of order. I noticed that one of the provinces, Honorable Mateme, just came in not knowing what the issue was.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just want to put it on record that the DA is not supporting the decision that was made now, not to debate the bill in the House.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. It is on record. We can proceed. we'll now go to our second, the plant breeder strike. I'll hand over to Eastern Cape. Can you just read it?
Thank you very much, Chair. The province votes in favor of the bill with amendments and mandates the Eastern Cape permanent delegates to the NCOP to vote in favor of the bill.
Thank you. Free State? I'll read the Free State one. The Free State legislature votes in favor of the bill. Gauteng?
Gauteng is voting in favor of the bill, Chair. Thank you.
Kevin is voting for the bill with amendments.
Okay. Just a point of order. Gauteng is voting in favor of the bill with amendments.
Okay. You're saying you're in favor. Limpopo?
Limpopo votes in favor with amendments, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Mpumalanga?
Mpumalanga votes in favor, Chair.
Western Cape?
Western Cape do not support the bill.
Thank you. Thank you very much, honorable members.
Thank you, members. Once again, in line with the voting procedures, the vote was studied on the Plant Breeders' Rights Bill. We received 7 final mandates, 6 support the bill, 1 did not support the bill, 5 provinces mandate are required to pass the bill through this committee. I'll now get the chairperson to read the report.
Thank you. Thank you very much, honorable members. The report of the Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources on the planned breeders' rights. The Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources, having deliberated on and considered the subject of the planned breeders' rights bill, B11B 2015, National Assembly, Section 76, referred to it and classified by the joint tagging mechanism as a Section 76 bill, reports that it has agreed to an amended Bill B11D 2015. Thank you. Any proposal in the second level? Dr. Limpopo. Okay. All right.
Yeah, Limpopo proposes.
Okay. Second. Okay.
Eastern Cape support.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Res Smith.
Thank you, honorable Chair. On this bill, we also ask that it be debated in the House, please.
The bill must be, there's a proposal that the bill should be debated.
Chairperson, I second the proposal.
And the proposal is seconded.
Honorable Mlambo.
A counter proposal, Chairperson, that the bill should not be debated in the House.
Thank you. Is there any second to the counter proposal?
Chair, second.
Okay. Left with nothing but to allow the honourable members to vote on that. Okay. Those that propose voting for that, can they raise their hands? What is all? Those you want to stand up. Those that want to vote. Those that want to debate. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay. Those that say no to the debate. Okay. So 5-3, right? Okay. So those that agree outnumbered the no's. Honorable Smith.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I want to put it on the record again that the DA do not support the decision that this will not be debated in the House.
The DA's point is noted, kept on record. And thank you very much. We'll proceed to our second item, which is the presentation by the department. The honorable members have just received the documents now, and they would love to engage the department. If that is the case, your presentations will be 10 minutes, and then you make sure that all these document that we're having here. Within that 10 minutes, we should be able to present so that the bulk of the minutes should go to the honorable members engaging. I think that would be fair enough. Because to give them this voluminous document in 5 minutes, and expect them to be able to raise the issue. Honorable.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think we really need to stress, I don't know how to say it, with departments, that they must be fair on us as members of the House. They can't be giving us documents in the morning and expect us to do, to debate qualitatively, you know. It's not fair. It's equal to malicious compliance. And that is not what we want to do as legislators. If this happens again, Chair, we will take the department back because they are not doing favor to us. Thank you.
That cannot be overemphasized. Because really it is critical that the budget needs to be debated and this committee must approve that. Okay. So really justice needs to be done to the Honorable Smith. Honorable Smith.
Honourable Chair, I agree with, or partially agree with the Honourable Nita, but I think she's putting it very softly. The matter of the fact is we had zero time to prepare for your presentation today. So, when are we going to get the opportunity? This is the opportunity where we're supposed to engage you and ask you questions. But you want us to respond on something that's just coming in front of us without doing preparation. We are not happy with it at all,
It is totally unacceptable. And this is not the first time that this is happening. It's not the first time. It is unacceptable. I mean, it is really, it's as if you don't want us to engage on this, on your reporting. Do you have something to hide? Because that's the question I'm asking myself. If you are withholding information, and our secretary were informing us, since nothing received, since we asked for it, it is unacceptable. And if it's up to me, I would be sending you packing.
Thank you, honourable members. Thank you very much. Honourable Mlambo, Honourable Julius,
thank you.
And Honourable Nyambi.
Thank you very much. Like Honourable Smith was saying that this has been going on. It can't just be left just like that. We need to find out what happened. Why are we being taken for a ride? Because we've been preaching this thing for the past 4 years now to all departments. Can they tell us what really happened?
Yes, Chairperson, just to add to that, in the department's response, if they wish to respond, I want to know whether the portfolio committee received the same report, and if something changed, what changed, and when did the portfolio receive the report before they had their meeting? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Nyambi.
Chair, my well, they'll respond to their questions. But my concrete proposal is that Honorable Smith represented us in Mlambo very correctly so. And, well, when you try to deal with the department, say you are giving them some time to do presentation so that you can have enough time to engage them. So I'm of the view that before we can be engaged in a lot of this discussion, probably will also take responsibility because of our weakness in the past not to treating these departments in the same way. If we're very clear from the day one that if a department is doing this thing, we say pick and go. But if we're not consistent, so I'll appeal that let's agree that what is happening is wrong, we never had enough time, but let's get to the questions and get to the business of the day so that we don't waste much time engaging on this discussion before we get to the actual business of the day.
We need reassurance by the department that it's not going to happen again. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. DM, you heard what you heard the serious concern of the committee. I will hand over to you to respond and then hand over to whoever is going to give the first presentation. Indeed, it will never happen again. Yeah. Chair, thank you very much, honourable members. Let me start by apologising. I think the point has been well made.
And if the honorable members are expected to play their role here, it should be on the basis of information and things that they've read. I myself, looking at how thick these documents are, there's no magic that you can be able to read this document that we are presenting to you. So I think it's proper that we profusely apologize to the department. And I must say, Chair, I really don't know why these documents came late, especially if you look at the annual performance plan, because we've been having this document forever. It has been presented before the portfolio committee and so on and so forth. So I really don't know. Let me just say to the members, I think what we must do, I'll definitely follow on this one, and we owe you a written response to what you have raised, so exactly what happened. Our apologies. I think the matter that I'm going to take up with the Director General to say it should not happen again. If I hear the honourable members saying that they have raised this issue again, and honourable members should just know that it's not because they are being taken for granted or not being taken for serious. I think that one I must think. But it is wrong. It can't be condoned. It can't be defended. I think we must come to a team with a written response to the issues that we have raised. Thank you, Chair. I will then ask my colleagues to give a quick quick presentation on what we're having here, and knowing very well that honourable members don't have time. If it suits the members, I think we need to come back once the members again have gone through this thing and so on, and make a proper presentation and allow the members to ask relevant questions. Otherwise, even the questions that you'll be asking, you may find a lot of things that you... But whatever, it's worth, we're happy to start with our presentation and then take it from there. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chair, Honorable DM, and Honorable Members, I will run through the presentation. May I humbly also make honorable members aware that this is the principal presentation on the annual performance plan of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. However, members must be aware that we do have subsidiary presentations which support this presentation. One is focusing on conditional grants that are allocated to provinces, the Comprehensive Agriculture Support Program. The other one is on the land care program, which is an attempt to sustain our natural resources. And the third one is on the small-scale fisheries policy. Remember, honorable members, that we came up with this policy to try to afford those that were excluded previously entry into the fisheries economy. So we do have these subsidiary presentations. It's quite a lot. However, I have taken note of the emphasis of the chair that we're given only 10 minutes, but if it so suits the chair can be gracious, more so on issues which are affecting the provinces, which is CASP and Ilima-Letsema and land care and so forth. So I'll run through this presentation, Chair. First and foremost, that is the presentation outline. The background, sector objectives, strategic overview, strategic outcome and orientated goals, alignment of annual performance plan to MTSF and objectives, alignment of annual performance plan to Operation PAKISA, annual performance plan 2018-19. We also have a section on acronyms for the convenience of honorable members in case they want to
refer to the full word in the document. Under background, I'm just going to summarize to honorable members to say, whenever we develop annual performance plans, it is very, very important that we do it in an integrated fashion. What this means is that we have to get everybody under one roof, the Department of Agriculture, our public entities, and the provincial departments of agriculture, including our private sector. Some of the commodity organizations will join us. As all members are aware, May, June is a planning period in government. So around June, we all come together under one roof and we deliberate on what is it that is going to be done in the ensuing financial year. And this is exactly what happened in the previous year as we were planning for the 2018-19 annual performance plans. We met in June. If you look on slide 3, we met around May, June 2017, wherein all sector players, role players, came together. And out of this coming together, because we spent 3 full days deliberating and discussing and dissecting, agreeing in terms of what is it that will be a priority for the ensuing financial year. So out of such deliberations, we come up with a document which we refer to as sector priorities and high-level deliverables for the ensuing financial year. This is how we approach planning as a sector, to make sure that there is alignment between the plans of the National Department of Agriculture and those of the provinces and those of the public entities, including some of our private sector partners. So in summary, this is what we are talking about under the background, to just make honorable members at ease in terms of the fact that our plans talk to each other as a sector, DAF, provinces, public entities, and the private sector. Honorable Chair, if you look at slide number 5, those are the sector objectives which are really guiding our work as a department. Improve food and nutrition security, ensure the creation of jobs by the sector, increase contribution to the gross domestic product. Whatever we do, if ultimately we do not achieve those objectives, then we will really remain somber. We will not be happy in terms of what we have done. But we also have these contributing targets. And I must explain to honorable members that those contributing targets, honorable members, are from the MTSF priorities of government. As we all know, MTSF period is over a 5-year period, and it is a period which has its own priorities. So whatever we do must be informed by those priorities. So the first MTSF target is that one of establishing smallholder producers and making sure that they are supported. Our target is 300,000 by 2019. We also have to create jobs by 500,000 by 2019 and 1 million jobs by 2030. We need to reduce households which are vulnerable to hunger to 9.5% by 2019, and that figure comes from State South Africa. Increase the contribution of processed products to manufacturing annually by 1%. Total 5% by 2019, and percentage biomass increase of stock levels in prioritized fishery sectors, e.g. abalone, West Coast rock lobster, and hake, and reduced vulnerability and risks associated with climate change. So these are the priorities which have informed our plans for 2018-19. Honorable members, if you go to slide 6 and 7, and I will not touch on those because those are standard things which you'll find in our APPs, issues of vision, mission, and the values which actually underpin what we do as an organization. Slide 7, those are strategic outcomes and orientated goals, because it is important that we always remind ourselves of our goals and our strategic objectives. So I'll not spend time on that one. Slide number 8, very quickly, is a demonstration that our APPs are aligned to the MTSF and sector objectives. I have just run through the MTSF priorities, smallholder farmers, job creations, and stuff like that. So this section simply demonstrates how our APPs are aligned to those. And I will also not spend a lot of time on that, honorable members, with your permission, honorable chair. Honorable chair, slide number 15 is another demonstration that our APPs are aligned to Operation Sakisa. Honorable members will remember that both the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, and Rural Development and Land Reform, being the leading departments, went away for 5 weeks where they dissected the sector and looked at, you know, where are the areas of opportunity for growth in the sector. This exercise is referred to as Operation Sakisa. And that happened for 5 weeks at the Beshut Hotel. All sector stakeholders came together to say, what is it that we can do to grow the sector, to move it forward? Of course, being informed by a variety of sources, source documents such as the MDP, the RAFAC, and other documents. So this is just a demonstration, honorable members, that our APPs align to Operation Pakisa. So I will also not spend a lot of time, because if you look at the following slide, if you look at slides 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, up to 22, that is alignment per program. We have got 8 programs in the Department of Agriculture, Forests and Fisheries, and we are demonstrating how the plans of each program align to Operation Pakisa. Those issues that were agreed upon during Operation Pakisa, how do they fit in each program? So that section demonstrates that part, honorable members. Slide number 23, alignment with SONA input. As honorable members know, that around February we always have the State of the Nation address. And in the State of the Nation address, there are pertinent issues to each economic sector. And we were able to pick up on those that are relevant to agriculture, forestry, and fisheries, and make sure that they get incorporated in our plan for 2018-19. So that slide, from 23, 24, 25, is a demonstration that all those things that are mentioned on the left part of the table are issues which flow from the 2018 State of the Nation address. And we are demonstrating on the right-hand column our plans for 2018-19, which are aligning to those issues that were raised in the State of the Nation address. Now, Chair, because of the limited time, if you go to slide 27, we are now
getting into details according to each program of the Department of Agriculture. The first program is administration. And under that, we are indicating what is it that we will be doing. The language that is being used here on that table is the prescribed language prescribed by our National Treasury when it comes to planning. We start with program performance indicator, estimated performance, medium-term targets. The most important part for honorable members to understand exactly what the department will be doing will be to look at the left-hand side column, because those are the indicators that we are pursuing as a department. Now, all those, Honorable Chair, from slide 27, slide 28, and slide 29, they focus on this program, which is dealing with administration only in the Department of Agriculture. But what will interest members, honorable members, will be slide number 31, because when you look at slide number 31, that is the total budget allocated to program number one, which is administration, which is 923 million. $0.1 million, which is going for the work that will be done under that. The second program at DAF is called Agricultural Production, Health and Food Safety. From slide 32, slide 33, 34, and 35, describe in detail, in full detail, what this program will be doing. And I must also indicate to honorable members that this is one of our very, very, very important programs in the department, because this is the program which is dealing with the outbreak of pests and diseases, to make sure that we don't have plant diseases, we don't have animal diseases and stuff like that. Our officials, veterinary officials that are dealing with animal health, reside in that program. So it is one of our very, very, very important programs. But Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I will then go to slide number 36. The budget for this program, which is appropriated for 2018-19, is $2.3 billion. But I must hasten to indicate, Honorable Chair, on slide 36 that that amount, $2.3 billion, does not necessarily reflect that it will enhance the work done by this. Part of that belongs to our grant fund, Ilemalitima, and that is the reason why. And we can indicate that this program is among those that still require a lot of financial support. Honorable Chair, program number three, food security and agrarian reform, is another important program, because this one has to lead in ensuring food security in the country. And then what follows from slide number 37 up to slide number 40, those are the details. If we talk about farmer support, you know, support that is given to farmers, if we talk about our extension officers on the ground to support farmers, they all do their work under this program, which is called Food Security and Agrarian Reform. Chair, I will indicate that if you look at slide number 41, that is the total budget of program three, which is just a little over $2 billion. But we must also indicate that our CASP grant, and you listen to the presenter shortly, Chair, is located under this program. Then the next program is trade promotion and market access. This is the program which is
whose mission is to open economic opportunities in agriculture, with special emphasis to those that were previously excluded. And that is where we deal with issues of markets, issues of trade, locally and internationally, but we also deal with issues of international relations under this program. Honorable members, I will just rush to slide 46. The total budget for this is 273.9 million allocated for 2018-19. We must also indicate, Chair, that I think if we are talking about issues of making sure that our farmers participate in agro-processing initiatives, I think a little bit more resources will be required to assist them in terms of even opening markets for them. Slide number 47, Chair, Forestry and Natural Resources. This is our lead program to make sure that we deal with issues of climate change, but this is also a program which is helping us in terms of making sure that our natural resources are kept in a sustainable manner. What follows are the details of what they will be doing in 2018-19, and slide number 50 indicates the total budget, which is a little over a billion for this. And the presentation that I talked about earlier, Land Care, which is a community-based program to try to keep our natural resources sustainable, is linked to this program. Then the last one, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members and Honourable DM, is the fisheries. The fisheries, you've got all those details in terms of what they have decided to do in 2018-19. And when you go to slide 57, that is their total budget for fisheries, which, by the way, is governed by the Marine Living Resources Act. Chair, I talked about the oceans economy earlier. The oceans economy, PAGISA, was undertaken under the guide of this program, and there have been many, many good gains as far as Operation PAGISA is concerned, focusing on the oceans economy. But I've also talked about the small-scale fisheries policy. So that is the budget. Chair, in a nutshell, that represents our annual performance plan 2017-18. And I will request through Honorable DM, our Honorable Chair, to allow for a subsidiary presentation, just 5 minutes, done by our National Transferring Officer, Nam Chisa.
Thank you, Mr. Dogo. Morning, Honorable Members. I'm quickly going to go through the presentation on CASP and climate plan for 2018-19. The outline of the presentation is quite long, and 5 minutes, I'll have to be very brief. The Comprehensive Agricultural Support Program is our grant funding, which actually carries a third of the total budget of the department, and it's our program for which we are trying hard to respond and is aligned to the National Development Plan Vision 2030. As was indicated in Vision 2030, ours is to grow the economy and increase jobs by expanding irrigated agriculture. So we need to pump funding in expanding irrigated agriculture, also looking at water use efficiencies and also rehabilitating or developing new irrigation schemes. We need also to pick and support, as was guided by the NDP, those industries and regions with the highest growth and job potential. It also further guided that we need to focus on the value chains as well as agroforestry, in an effort to create jobs and grow the rural economy, and of course making land reform work. The key policy imperatives which were shown in the APP presentation that Mr. Obwe has just made still are guiding the investment of both CAFSA and Klimalizema. We have a mandate to create 1 million jobs within the sector by 2030. As I indicated, we have to focus on expanding commercial agriculture and achieve additional direct jobs. About 250,000 was calculated within that space. We have a mandate to put at least 1 million hectares of underutilized land under production, as well as support 300,000 smallholder producers, and as I indicated, expand irrigated agriculture, but most importantly, ensure food security for all South Africans, as well as sustainable use of natural resources. I think agriculture in itself so far has demonstrated that yes, indeed, it can grow its contribution to the GDP, and we drive this through the revitalization of the agriculture and agro-processing value chain. We wanted to just remind the committee around the objectives of the CAFSA. It was set out to deliver quite a wide range of economic, social, as well as environmental benefits. And on the economic front, it is expected to produce higher levels of productive efficiencies, create on-farm and off-farm jobs, increase income and wealth in the rural economy, and as a positive impact of cost increases. The view was that it would attract enough investment, both domestic and foreign, into the sector, and leading to reversal of the inequities in farmland access and use rights which were inherited. On the social benefits, it is expected to contribute to household and national food security, to reduce poverty, and also improve rural living standards. And in terms of environmental benefits, we are hoping that with this investment would guide in environmental security, which would promote ecological sustainable farming activities. The pillars is also to remind the honorable members that it is actually driven through 6 pillars, the program CAST. We focus on and off-farm infrastructure support, on increasing knowledge and information management, providing technical and advisory services to the recipients of the program, increased training and capacity building, and market as well as business development support is provided. And the pillar of financial services was then branded MAFISA, which is not necessarily funded through the conditional grant, is driven separately. Our target population for the program remains the hungry, previously disadvantaged subsistence, smallholder and commercial farmers, as well as entrepreneurs, youth, women, and people with disabilities. The grant framework for the 2018-19 allocation remains the goal to create a favorable and supportive agricultural services environment for the farming community, particularly for smallholder subsistence as well as black commercial farmers. As guided by Operation Pakisa, we are strategically focusing on grain, livestock and horticulture production areas. And the purpose, of course, is to support both land reform beneficiaries as well as black producers who have acquired land through private means and are engaged in value-adding enterprises, as well as we have an allocation that addresses the infrastructure which were caused by floods of 2010 and 2012, and also we have an allocation to revitalize colleges of agriculture into centers of excellence. On the basis of the 5 minutes, I would move out of the expected outcomes. And with Klimalizema conditional grant, its goal is to reduce poverty through increased food production initiatives, and the purpose is really to assist vulnerable South African communities to increase agricultural production. the allocation for cuts in 2018-19, we have a total of 1.7 billion, which have been allocated to provinces through a weighted average where we consider the land, agricultural land in provinces, we consider the general household study reports on areas that are food insecure, and also lands where there were previous homelands with backlog to infrastructure development. Of the 1.7 billion, 1.1 billion is allocated for direct farmer support, which goes to projects, and the allocation as per province is indicated. For the extension recovery plan, which we use to strengthen extension services in the country, we have an allocation of 355.6 million, and the allocation is also shown to the members per province. For colleges of agriculture, we are revitalizing only the infrastructure part of those colleges, and we have an allocation of 74.4 million, which is distributed to the six provinces with agricultural colleges. The disaster fund is a process for which the COCTA leads, and the disaster management committee once approves the disaster. Any recovery work that needs to happen when it's allocated to agriculture comes to CAP, and this becomes the recovery work that the provinces will continue doing. We are still revitalizing and correcting the walls of the river walls in the Northern Cape, and also some bridges which were affected by the disaster of 2012 in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and in Western Cape as well. The total allocation for Ilemalizema, we have a total budget of 562 million, which is allocated to provinces as indicated. For the first time in the budget for Ilemalizema, we have included the South African Vulnerability Assessment Survey, which will be conducted together with the SA. We have reinforced about 45.2 million for this survey to happen. This would be an important work. Usually we always get an indication of poverty reports and household or inadequate access to food in provinces and in municipalities, but we never really were able to pinpoint where in that municipality, where in that location. So this study is really going to help us get a true baseline report, which would actually tell us directly where those incidences are happening, so that our targeted response are now accurate, and we are able then to measure whether we have managed to eradicate poverty and hunger. So we are quite excited. This is a partnership with SADC communities. In terms of the Fesadala contribution, 20% of cash supports the Ilemalizema allocation to increase food production in the country. We have received plans from provinces which were approved. The total hectareages planned and targeted for 2018-19, we have 109,306 hectares which are targeted. You can see per province the total number of hectares that are targeted in 2018-19. We are targeting about 40,268 farmers who will be receiving this support, and about 55,942 vulnerable households that would be assisted to produce their own food. And with Ilemalizema, we would be creating about 21,728 jobs, and from CAS, the contribution to jobs would be about 9,465 in the 2018-19 financial year. This is just a sketch to indicate to members that the bulk of these 109,000 hectares that are targeted goes to grain. About 89% of the total areas that would be planted would be grain. The bulk is maize, wheat, sorghum, soybean, and sunflower. And of course, you have vegetables, which are second, followed by food. There's beyond just the vulnerable households, there's about 21 schools that would also be supported countrywide, as well as 448 community gardens. Mr. Hobobo spoke to the revitalization of the agriculture and agro-processing value chain, and because this is our commodity approach, we are able to tell in which provinces what is the total investment that is going to vegetables, what is the total investment that is going to food, grains, and the plant activities, as well as which provinces would be affected. These guys are indicating the total investment for vegetables as well as all the other commodities. In terms of time, I'm going to pass through all of them, Chair, but I will mention that the investment will be vegetable is $252 million, targeting 3,949 hectares and creating about 8,159 jobs, supporting 5,948 farmers. The same with food, we have about 138 million, targeting 1,479 hectares, and the activities are also outlined in terms of the development of orchards, the tech house establishment, as well as the irrigation system that would be developed. Also for grains, we have about 338 million, for about 102,000 hectares, creating 10,000 jobs for the jobs indicated. There's an investment for sugar cane as well as macadamia nuts in the Eastern Cape. We have aquaculture, which would be happening in Eastern Cape, with states in Limpopo, Northern Cape, Northwest, and Western Cape. About 8.3 million is set aside for aquaculture development in the country. Poultry value chain, about 84 million is set aside to 24 projects, which are in Eastern Cape, West State, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Northwest, as well as Western Cape. About 18 boiler structures, those are the activities, the layer structures, as well as the input would be provided. With regards to the red meat value chain, a budget of about 160 million would go to about 103 projects. This would be in the 8 provinces except Gauteng, and those are the planned activities for the red meat value chain. Forestry, we have one project in Mpumalanga, which is supported for this financial year to receive 3 million. This plantation received experienced fires in October 2016, so the department is really trying to clear the burnt debris and help them with the replanting so that they can step back into being a commercial plantation. It is an 80% black-owned enterprise in the forestry sector. Piggery production, we have a budget of about 41.7 million, and about 18 projects would be supported in Free State, Gauteng, Limpopo, and Northwest. What would be done with the infrastructure support is the piggery boreholes as well as the production input. And of course, wool in Eastern Cape, we are partnering with the Wool Growers Association. 16.6 million is set aside, and shearing sheds as well as borehole fencing and inputs would be provided for the wool growers in the Eastern Cape. Dairy investment, we have about 23.3 million in the Eastern Cape for state and KwaZulu-Natal provinces, supporting 7 projects in the 2018-19. And of course, in terms of the irrigation systems, we will be revitalizing Gamata, Geistama, Falha, Makatini, and Taun irrigation schemes. These are in Northwest, KwaZulu-Natal, Northern Cape, and the Eastern Cape. We also embark on ensuring that our farmers have access to markets, and we have a program together with the PPECB, which is the Perishable Product Export Agency of the department, which assists the department and provinces to support and workshop these farmers and ensure that they meet the standards of the market. We have certified in the 2017-18 about 33 farmers. The Northern Cape is the province that did exceptionally well in the previous year. We are targeting around 49 farmers in 2018-19, and we are working very hard with the provinces to ensure that we include all beneficiaries of CAS who are not yet certified to be certified. We have shown here also the benefits for the farmers to be certified to improve their participation in the mainstream agricultural economy by ensuring compliance minimum food safety and quality standards required by the commercial mainstream market. It would also enhance their competitiveness and improve their participation in local markets and also opportunities for export markets. And of course, since I had indicated around the disaster allocation that it is in the three provinces. In terms of farmer training and mentorship, we have about 20,330 farmers who would be trained in the 2018-19 financial year, with about 1,000 of them who would be mentored. So those are just examples of the farmers who are receiving both formal and practical training. In terms of equipment and maintenance of extension personnel, our ERP budget also assists in increasing the capacity for extension support, and we do pay their salaries, as has been highlighted in the slide, for all provinces. The colleges of agriculture, I had already spoken to it. You may ask, what have we achieved? So far, we have conducted the impact study forecast in 2014-15, and what was revealed in the study was that CAS has significantly contributed towards growth and sustainability.
And you must arrive back now.
It's the last one, check. Of individual smallholder farming enterprises, their incomes were found to have increased after CAS, jobs were found to have increased after CAS, and 85% of the beneficiaries of CAS were found to be having consistent and access to markets. And of course, the cultivated areas had increased after CAS. The weakness was that we had not really supported enough youth, as only 40% of the beneficiaries were youth. And what was also exciting for us, despite negative feedback, was that for those that were reached by our extension support services, they were quite satisfied with the quality of extension service as they had received. We'll be getting the land care presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, GM, and members. I'll keep it very, very short.
If you can follow except the first presenter, if you can take it through in that fashion, we can make it in that 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. The presentation is about the Valencia program, and the presentation indicates the focus of the program with respect to the department strategic outcome 4, that is in relation to the sustainable use of natural resources in the sector. So the program is there to ensure that communities do rehabilitate the land in a participatory manner, and thereby creation of some jobs. The second slide is more on the institutional arrangement. The grant framework specifies the roles of the province and that of national. And with national, we set the environment in terms of guidelines, and we align with the new developments, such as the Operation Pakisa in this case. The institutional arrangement also makes provision for a quarterly management meeting where we check in terms of the reports, and also we visit the projects that have been reported on. We also have the national assessment panel, in which we have to check the alignment as has been provided for in the planning, that there will be some of the high priority areas. With respect to the province, it's focusing mainly on implementation, that is a clear role that they have to perform, and they also have to ensure that there is adequate level of capacity that exists in order to implement the projects that have been recommended for supporting by the department. The program is also aligned to our mandate with respect to the Conservation of Agricultural Resources Act, which provides the department responsibility to ensure that our water and soil resources are well managed, and we promote the combating of weed and invader plants in the country. We are also aligned to outcome 4, 7, and 10 in relation to jobs. If, when members rehabilitate the land, they create some jobs. We also do activities such as fencing, in which we build the infrastructure within the rural communities. And we, when we are rehabilitated, we are contributing to outcome 10 in terms of enhancing our environmental assets. We are also aligned to initiative on Operation Pakisa that is focusing on fortified veld management, that is to enhance the grazing capacities and also livestock productivity in the communities. The allocation is just above 77 million. And the output, we are focusing mainly on jobs as well as hectares of land rehabilitated. The allocation, slide 11, is the allocation per province, which shows which province has been allocated how much. For instance, Eastern Cape is just about 10 million and so forth. The impact of the program is that, as aligned by the Conservation of Agricultural Resources Act, we have to ensure that we manage our soil resources in the country, the field care, in which we give attention to range land and controlling of alien invasive. We have seen bush enclosures along our grazing camps in which they are degrading the field. And that is what we are focusing on. And also the water care, we are encouraging schools to have water tanks, we are encouraging communities to capture water so that such can be utilized for irrigation purposes of their gardens. The junior care in school and out of school, we are encouraging youth at the early stage to understand the importance of planning within their school, their gardens, so that whatever landscape that they are making, it doesn't contribute to erosion downstream. And the out-of-school is the jobs that are created when they are rehabilitating the land. The conservation agriculture is also advocating for minimum soil disturbance in the sense that we are trying to ensure that the practices that farmers employ are managing our land for a longer sustainability of agricultural production. In closing, I'll say this program focuses mainly on how government is responding to communities' needs in a bottom-up approach, where our policy is informed by what the communities are seeing and saying on the ground. And also we contribute to facilitating sustainable livelihoods in the sense that when people rehabilitate their land, they use that land for to produce and it adds value to their livelihoods. We also respond to mitigation of climate change in areas where we have seen conservation agriculture well practices. There is less emission in those areas, and therefore we promote best practices for our land and water management within this program. And thank you.
Honorable Chair, with your benevolent permission, the last one will be the fisheries people. We'll just give them 5 minutes, Honorable Chair, 5 minutes just to run through their presentations. Sue?
Thank you, Chairperson. Fisheries originally had 3 presentations, but I'm suggesting we just focus on 2. The small scale fisheries policy, which will be presented by my colleague Craig Smith, who's the director of the small scale program, and then the aquaculture oceans economy presentation. Chair, can I ask, do we need to move up or do we talk from?
Just a second. Honorable members, these two last presentations, of course, are also important. They are also enhancing our visit to Australia. We know we'll have a challenge of time. With your permission, can I allow them to, within that, can I make it 10 minutes to go through all this? Okay, in the 5 minutes, can you just compress them and make sure that you present them all? Because really, the honorable members have got some very, very critical information.
Chairperson, certainly we can try and do that. Otherwise, another proposal, and you can rule me out of order. Because Fisheries is based in Cape Town, we could offer to, if time is a constraint, we could make ourselves available at another date, if you would prefer more detailed presentation.
If we go to another day, your budget vote will wait for another day. Okay.
Right, I'm going to then ask my colleague, Mr. Craig Smith, to quickly go through the small scale presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Sue. Chair, with your permission, I understand the constraints of time, and there was two documents that were circulated, the presentation which is currently presented now, but in the interest of time, I would propose that maybe I take the House through the one-page summary presentation, which will be easier to digest, and also promote discussion in the House. Chair, that's okay. Okay, so Chair, I'll continue talking as the presentation is delivered. The issue of small-scale fisheries, I'm just going to emphasize that this is a new process for fisheries. We haven't undertaken such a process in our history as an organization. This particular process in terms of implementing the small-scale fisheries policy, it impacts four coastal provinces, namely Northern Cape, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal. What is presented on the one-page summary is a list of all the milestones, because it's a stepwise process that we embarked upon as a department, and how that was conducted for each of the provinces. And it actually gives a snapshot in terms of where we are currently and what work will need to be undertaken in order to conclude this process. So I'll take you from the top in terms of a legal framework. Because this is a new process, we had to amend legislation in order to recognize the new small-scale fishing sector. And also we need to adopt regulations that will actually prescribe how the sector would be implemented and managed. And that work was concluded in March 2016. The next step was to identify which coastal fishing communities would participate in this process, and there was a process of discussion of interest that was conducted by the department, and this process closed in April 2016. In this process, 316 coastal fishing communities were identified. The next step in this process was the registration and verification of fishers in those communities. This was a lengthy process where where people in the community were interviewed in terms of their life stories and in order to ascertain whether they met the criteria to qualify as a small-scale fisher. In that process, over 22,000 people from those 316 communities had registered in that process, and that process concluded in August 2016. The next step was to assess those applications, and then with the applications being assessed, Deputy Director General approved the provisional list of people that qualified. Those were announced in the various communities. The data presented there from August 2016 right through to July 2017. The appeals process was allowed for people that did not qualify, where they could contest the decision that was taken and to furnish further information to the department for a reconsideration. Also, tip of information from communities were also followed up on during this process. The appeals process closed in Northern Cape in September 2016, Western Cape was December 2016, and Eastern Cape was April 2017, and KwaZulu-Natal, August 2017. The only province that provided tip of information was from the Western Cape. None of the other communities in other provinces provided tip of information that needed to be followed up. And so that was the difference for Western Cape. The appeals were assessed for all the provinces. That process was concluded for Northern Cape in June 2017 and complete for Western Cape in April 2018, Eastern Cape November 2017, and KwaZulu-Natal November 2017. being a new small, a new fishing sector, we also need to fee structure for the sector. We started initial consultation in the communities in July last year, and we're still in the process of finalizing this, and this will need to be adopted with the minister together with the concurrence of the Minister of Treasury. The issue on the final list, once the appeals were assessed, we completed the final list of fishers for each province. That was done in November 2017 for Northern Cape. Note that for Western Cape, it's still outstanding. We anticipate that by June this year, we'll complete that. Eastern Cape, we completed that in January 2018. And for KwaZulu-Natal, it was in June into July 2018. January 2018. Then the announcement of the final list of successful fishers. So this is after the appeals process, and this is now the final list of, or final numbers of people that will benefit directly in this process. We announced in Northern Cape in November 2017, we have 103 fishers which stand to benefit from this process. Note that Western Cape is still outstanding, we still yet to conclude that process. In Eastern Cape, we completed the process in February 2018, with 5,335 fishers recognized in that process. And in KwaZulu-Natal, we completed in February 2018 with 2,154 fishers recognized in that process. We embarked upon a training schedule for these communities that are the small-scale fishing communities in order to prepare them for registration of cooperatives, the small-scale fishing cooperatives. In Northern Cape, we trained two communities in February 2018. In KwaZulu-Natal, we trained 48 communities in March 2018. We are currently engaging in a training program in Eastern Cape, which started yesterday, where we trained 111 communities in terms of cooperative training. Western Cape is still, we're still to conclude the process on the final list before we engage in the cooperative training. Then once the communities are trained in terms of the cooperatives, it's required that they register their cooperatives. We're currently engaging that process right now in Northern Cape, where we expect that in this week we would have those cooperatives registered. And similarly, by May 2018, KwaZulu-Natal, we should have the cooperatives registered. And then the anticipated time frames for Western Cape is by August 2018, and then Eastern Cape, May 2018. Once cooperatives are registered, we are then able to embark upon a rights allocation process for these cooperatives, and the various dates are indicated there, ranging from May 2018 all the way through to October 2018, depending on the province. After the rights allocation, we will have a process of appeals in terms of to conclude the administrative process, and from there on, the bulk of the work, in addition to managing the new sector, would be to facilitate support programs to these communities in order to promote the socioeconomic development in those communities. So that's a snapshot of where we are in terms of this process. And for this financial year, we've budgeted 19 million rand to undertake the work that's been described in this schedule. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If I could ask Chair Sashenda to
thank you, Chair, Honourable Members. So I'm just going to fly through that quickly, if you can move the slides along. So those are our targets that we had through Operation Pakisa in terms of jobs and production. Okay, in terms of the process of Operation Pakisa, we developed various initiatives that were in relation to the challenges facing the sector. So I'm going to just speak to this slide because it gives all the initiatives and gives an overview. The first initiative deals with implementing catalyst projects. We started with 24 projects. We now have 35 projects registered under this initiative. And we undertake various initiatives to try and catalyze the growth of aquaculture in this regard. The second initiative deals with creating a more enabling environment for aquaculture, and the key progress in terms of that is the approval of the Aquaculture Development Bill by Cabinet for parliamentary processes. The third initiative aims at streamlining the various complex authorizations required for aquaculture. And in terms of the Interdepartmental Authorizations Committee, we have a committee that's up and running. We're also in the process of various environmental impact assessments for zones for aquaculture. Two of them have been completed in Saldanha and Kucha. Two others are also underway in Amatikulu and Kolocha has also been approved, and various pilot projects are underway. One of the key things we deal with here is the issues of water space and land space for aquaculture as well. In terms of Initiative 4, it speaks to certification of products, and in order to ensure opening international markets as well as meeting food safety requirements of our local markets. And there are various initiatives underway in terms of certification and verification of laboratories and standards through national consumer regulatory standards, NRCS. The fifth initiative is the Aquaculture Development Fund, which we've put together the various DFIs meet to discuss aquaculture funding. New projects are presented there. We've completed various feasibility studies for the different species for aquaculture to inform new entrants and potential funders. And in terms of Initiative 6, which deals with capacity development and skills development, one of the highlights there is we've sent 5 fish to Stirling for specialized training in aquatic veterinary science, which started in September. There's also the Khareep Aquaculture Training Center, and a skills needs analysis has been undertaken. And then briefly, Initiative 7 deals with coordinating of industry-wide marketing efforts. And the last initiative, which is the aquaculture government procurement, which we've had good discussions with the Department of Basic Education and Department of Correctional Services, looking at piloting it with them. And the last initiative deals with the development of aquaculture zones, where we have various zones under that initiative, which are reflected in the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And then the third presentation, which I won't even ask the, for it to be opened, is just to inform the committee that on the 31st of December 2020, 12 of the 22 commercial fishing sectors, rights will expire in those sectors and will need to be reallocated. So in order for us to be able to allocate fishing rights in 12 commercial fishing sectors, we have to start work now, because it takes at least 18 months to get to the point where we're able to allocate rights. Thank you, John.
Honorable members, thank you very much. I know this is one of the pillars of our economy that has been, of course, doing well, but with a lot of challenges. As you are representing province, can I request you, honorable member, to at least go for 3 questions per member, not to exceed that, so that all provinces can be represented. Honorable members, should I start by taking hands, or can I start from Honorable Mateme up to Honorable Smith, Fraser, Honorable Mlambo, okay, Honorable Nyambi, Honorable Julius. Okay. All right, we can take those.
think this is only three hands that I have now. Okay, Honorable Dr. Mateme, Honorable Nita, okay, in that sequence. Honorable Smith, can.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I want to say it is quite bothering to me that you limit us to three questions, because this is the engagement which we should have.
You will take the second round if so. But so far,
no,
given
Chair,
the situation,
Chair, I'm not.
I can't just allow you to take 15 questions now. Okay, I'm saying, honourable members, let's go, but let's for the first round. Given the interest of the nine provinces that we're having, I'll give you three questions with your first bite. Can you continue with that three? And indeed, honorable members, you are going to respect that order. Thank you.
Chair, firstly, I want to know in terms of title deeds for...
Am I limiting myself to my province only, or as the country is a unitary one,
you can raise another issue. But what I'm saying, let's be cooperative, honorable members. I've requested, I'm just making that plea. Thank you.
Limit my, thank you, Chair.
Can I continue, Chair? Thank you. In terms of title deeds, that where land reform projects took place, you know, where the titles haven't been given to those people. What is the plans going forward? Is there any budget allocation to ensure that that happens? And what is the status of that? Because there is a lot of people that more than 15 years back that land was bought for those communities and not handed. So I want to know in terms of that. In terms of the reduction of budget, programs is impacted negatively by budget cuts? Because we all know that there is budget cuts throughout government. What is the impact of those budget cuts, and how do you plan to minimize the impact that it will have on growth and job creation? Then I want to go to this presentation on the conditional grants, page 19. If we go and look at aquaculture, I want to understand this because I don't know, I think we've been taken for a spin here. There's 8.3 million rand spent on five projects in six provinces, five projects in six provinces for 1,041 farmers with 290 jobs created. Now, I'm sorry, this sounds like absolute nonsense. So if you can please explain to me how do you come to this, and what impact will this have on freshwater aquaculture growth within this country?
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Can be how emotional, but let's mind our language. We are in the house, we are in a committee meeting.
Point of order.
Actually, the point of order to go to your honorable member to withdraw the unparliamentary language that is what.
Which unparliamentary language?
The nonsensical issue.
Well, Honorable Chair, if I can just remind you, a week and a half ago, the President used the word nonsense. And then?
Well,
so how is that?
And
how is that?
parliamentary.
The President of the Republic of Kent did withdraw.
Okay.
So you are also, if you are following on that example, you'll have to withdraw. Thank you.
I can't see why I must withdraw the word nonsense.
You yourself as a...
It is nonsensical. That's what it means. What is it else?
If doesn't if you applied in the example of the president that withdrew that word, you'll have to...
Well, Chair, I'm not going to withdraw the word because I don't see that it's unparliamentary.
Honourable members, let us not use any abusive language. Honorable member, you'll have to comply with the rule. I'm saying you draw the word.
I refuse to withdraw the word nonsense.
Unfortunately, I'm left with nothing. But you'll have to recuse yourself from this committee.
Thank you, Chair, because so we were in any way not getting our information.
No, thank you very much.
Chair.
Honorable Lambo.
No, it's myself, the second one.
Okay.
But, Chair, before I raise my issue, it would be good that we don't just leave it just because they refused, then it's business as usual. We always complain when we call the department, they're not coming. Now we have the department in front of us, the deputy minister is part of this meeting. It means they're taking us serious, and then we decide just to insult them, and it's in order. It won't be in order just to allow him to undermine us just like that, and we say just because you said he must leave. We'll want to get a report as the committee how we're taking it up, probably with the chairperson of the NCOP, because it's not on what has happened. Well, my three questions, without wasting time. The first one is to commend the department. In the past, we used to fight about presenting to us, not reflecting what is happening in our provinces. We're seeing a very serious improvement. You look at how you do the land care allocation, what is happening in our province. We commend that, but making an addition that probably in future, if we can go beyond just provinces and indicate the municipality, because our role is not to capitalize where you have some challenges, but it's to commend when you are doing what is right. And as a house coming from this province, it will always be good for us to go and check a program that you are presenting to us in that province so that when we come here, we assist in terms of doing that oversight. My second question is about your structure, the issue of vacancies. So if we can be able to assist us in terms of time frame, when are you intending to fill those vacancies that we see in your structure? Because we are of the view as the committee that there's no department that can be able to be effective and efficient at optimal level with serious vacancies, especially with critical position. The last question from my part is about your programs. Are you satisfied about the programs that you have, or do you think that there is a program that you need to have? Then, because you allowed us three, Chair, then the next one will be just a comment that I would appreciate a situation where, if time permits, to allow the Ocean Economy, because they said they are in Cape Town, to come, probably have ample time, as we happened as a committee. We went to Australia. We saw what is happening there, and there were good things that we learned, and it will be good for us to have just ample time to engage with them. But the presentation was assisting in terms of understanding what is happening in our different provinces.
And here somebody sitting here, what has happened is not a reflection of this committee. When we want you, DM, and when we are fighting with you to say you must come, we're not saying come because we want to just undermine. And to all the officials, it's not in our nature to when we are in front of you to undermine you. Because all of you are not going to get an opportunity. We want you to earn the respect from you. We are respecting you. Not because we are members of parliament that we can just use any language. We happen to be MPs. We respect committees when they are coming to us. And we expect them to respect us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. As much as I agree we need to treat each other with respect, I don't think we're here to eat mollycoddle each other either. We have to engage on certain things, and if you call a spade, we call it a spade. We need to interact with each other. Chairperson, firstly, based on training in agriculture in our provinces, and I think at this stage I'll stick to my province because I also, you know, it's difficult to engage Deputy Minister with the report that you received now, and especially reports, you know, different departments within DAF. It's extremely difficult. But let me attempt to do that, Chairperson. And on top of that, we are restricted to three questions. It's a very difficult thing. Chairperson, I'll start with the agricultural. West Rand Agricultural Institute. Now, I asked the minister a question, oral question, written question, even in a debate, Minister Zokwana, and he said, you know, forward me the details of this college and I'll investigate. Now, that's very troublesome to me because it's the department's responsibility to furnish us with information. I don't have to give the department information, but nevertheless, the grass is growing this tall. In there, they bought the farm in 2012 for $11 million, a farm that was flourishing on the West Rand in Mahalis area, and there's nothing happening. No learners are taught agricultural skills in that school. No one knows about it. The department now at least aware of this school and what has been done since, because we cannot just start a new project while the others are abandoned. It's abandoned now, that project. The Department of Agriculture in Gauteng stated that it's abandoned because they don't have funds. It's too expensive to continue with. So I want to know if it's too expensive to continue, and Gauteng has the corridor, West Rand is identified as a corridor for agricultural. And the minister doesn't stay very far from the school, so he must know about it. The department must know about it. I think the minister is in that radius of that school. He stays there. So it's really unfortunate that the department doesn't know. I'll have my second bite on another one, Chairperson, but let me start with the second one. Is the DG, I just want to check, is the DG here today?
There was an apology of the GA.
Oh, okay. No, I think we need to take, as a committee, we must be taken into your confidence to tell us what is actually transpiring between the minister and the DG, because clearly it has an effect on this this department in terms of management. The minister. In, I think it's 2017, July last year, the minister put the DG on precautionary suspension and disciplinary proceedings, and I think recently, as in April this year, the court held that, you know, this was actually unlawful. The minister cannot do anything about it, so the DG supposed to come back to work. want to know exactly what is happening, what is transpiring at this moment in this department in terms of the DG and the minister. Is the DG still at work? Will the minister continue or pursue disciplinary proceedings against him? Because if the minister found that there were grave fraudulent and other stuff, you know, misconduct, misappropriation of state funds, failure to comply with the PMFMA, failed to disclose his past business interests, insubordination, and all that. Clearly something must be done about it. And as a committee, we were never informed from the onset what is actually transpiring in this department. So it's a more, you know, and I, when you come with your performance plan, I think that should be part of it. And it's clearly an obfuscated plan. Or, you know, it's buried in a clandestine fashion. And I think we need to know. You can't come here and management is in tatters and you say that something...
Julius, I hear what the Honorable...
The third point, Chairperson.
Let us try by all means not to preamble our questions and be very careful of issues that are some allegations. Let's go to our questions, Honorable Minister. Okay, go to your third question.
Chairperson, it's allegations made by the Minister, not myself. I'm highlighting the fact that we need clarity and the department must take us into confidence. We are a committee that must hold this department to account. If you don't like it, so be it. We have to engage on it. The third point, Chairperson, the Agri Parks, and I'll also confine myself to the region, West Rand in Gauteng, this one that the President opened last year. It is called the Western Area Agri Park. Now, this was supposed to be a park with state-of-the-art technology. But when you go there, you can't even get in. You know, it's in my constituency. I can't get in. They refuse to let me in. When you look from the outside, it's falling apart 1 year after it was opened. Further to that issue is that this produce coming from that agri park, with that money being spent there, I don't think we're getting value for our money. Because this produce must now be sent to the Johannesburg market owned by the Joburg municipality or the metro. There's no market on the West Rand, but it's supposed to be the agricultural hub or corridor of Gauteng to develop the economy of Gauteng, and the MEC even said that they, MEC of Finance, Barbara Creasy, even said that they've gone are the days where West Rand is a forgotten area in Gauteng. We will develop this economy. Now, how do you develop an economy and you're taking out our produce? I mean, we don't have a market on the West Rand. I want to know whether there are any plans or will the department consider establishing a market, fresh produce market on the West Rand, helping the municipality maybe for the Chairperson. I'll come back with the other at the later stage. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. I will confine myself to my province. What's the Pakisa for inland provinces? That's question.
to be specific, for Limpopo. Two, Chair, I commend the department for presentations presently packaged and presented here to us in the National Parliament. Chairperson, my question is accessibility, Chair, for this good information, for these good plans, programs, good monies here. I see CASP, I see the rest of them. Now, the language barrier, Chairperson, because the people who actually need to benefit here, majority of them are not conversant in this language here. Now, I want to know, what is it the department is doing to make this good news accessible to those people that need this good news the most? It is, it's only, not only language is a barrier, Chairperson, the siting of the offices. It's in the towns or in the cities. What is the department doing to make sure those people behind the mountain in their own language also get this information? My third one, Chair. My third one. Third one goes to the red meat story in Gauteng. I may not be able to put the page on here. Under that presentation, looks like Gauteng is not participating. But I think the Gauteng people are eating the most meat. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair Nam, let me appreciate the report from the department and the manner in which it's packaged and presented. And it's also helped us in terms of understanding what is happening in our provinces. I agree with that one. Chair, first question that I would like to ask is on the issue of the 100 million allocated to land bank for grant purposes. I would like to know, is this thing known by those that are supposed to benefit from it? Again, the issue of information sharing with the people that are in dire need. And on the same question, Chair, the model or method that they use to make them to account for the funding allocated to them in terms of spread in provinces, and as well the gender question, your youth and people with disabilities would like to see them benefiting. And the second question, Chair, is on the issue of revitalization of the agricultural colleges. What I would like to know on that one, because we know that there are colleges that are seriously dilapidated. We would like to know specifically, as of now, which exactly provinces that they are focusing on, so that we know and go and monitor as members of parliament. The last one is on the issue of effortless expenditure. That one is not a question. What I would like to do is to at least congratulate the department that I looked at it at page 17 of your annual report, that you are taking up the matter with those that are responsible for fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We would like to see the outcome of that as members of parliament. Because the matter that is becoming very common and there are no consequences. So I'm congratulating you that you are dealing with the matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable, there's nothing. Honorable, good.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of, let me first welcome the presentations by the department.
there is a problem that one has been observing in terms of cooperatives. Cooperatives are being registered, but most of them are dysfunctional in a number of provinces. So I would like to know what is it that is being done by the department to make it a point that those cooperatives are fully functional. What assistance are they giving to the cooperatives? The issue of colleges. I once raised the issue of a college in Gauteng in Olifantsfontein, and I never got a proper answer as to what is it that is being done about that college. You know, it's an old college. You know, the issue of inland small-scale fisheries. In Gauteng, we do have dams, and nothing is happening around those dams, and they are government-owned. You know? I'll leave it at that, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. The honorable members were showering you, the department, with some accolades, which indeed is appreciated. The fishery industry is a no-go area, with the very few companies, IMJ or in terms of regulatory frameworks that can crack this industry to make sure that the new entrants, particularly the emerging players in there, how far are we in terms of those regulatory frameworks? Because you have said by 2020 we must start now to make sure that you issue licenses. Is it going to be the license to the very same companies that enjoy the monopoly of being in this industry? Okay. The very few elites, okay, that historically has been benefiting from this industry. How do we crack this market? Let me also appreciate that you're coming up with the irrigation effort. Mentioned Taung water. But water is still indeed not accessible to the emerging farmers. You get a piece of land that has been very, very, very good for commercial. You get there as a emerging farmer or as a black farmer in that farm. You'll be told that the water rights were not part of this. It has been relocated to somebody else. What is the collaborations between the Department of Land Reform and of Rural Development and the Department of Water Affairs to ensure that these commodities which make the industry viable is sustained? And whoever comes in should also enjoy those rights, tying them up with the piece of land. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, the colleagues will pick the questions which reside in their areas. But if I may, Chair, if I may just address some of the things which I think they cover everybody. Let me start by thanking honourable members for the way that you have received our report, despite all the challenges that you you pointed out at the beginning. And I think all what we can do is just to try and improve on the issue, on the areas that honorable members have pointed out. Chair, let me then continue to say agriculture is not different from other sectors of the economy in a number of ways. That the challenges which are there are faced by this one and the same constraints, so there are so many things which must be done, and then obviously a constraint of resources that were heavy. Most of the things that are being raised here are things which are very important that they must be done. But again, there's an issue of resources. I must say that one of the things that we have just said, everybody when it talks about agriculture, saying this is the backbone of the economy, not just saying it. If you look at what has happened, for instance, last year, agriculture and related industries, they lifted up the economy, which was really sluggish and struggling. Everybody is saying that. But we have said we are engaging in very serious discussions with many departments, including Treasury, to say that as a country, we need to put our money where our mouth is, right? Because there is no country without agriculture, nothing. So I think that's one thing which is I need to mention that. Again, like the whole economy, agriculture is not different. It's dominated by monopolies and oligopolies. So it's something that the country is dealing with, and I think as government, amongst other things, I think the colleagues from fisheries must say, for instance, what are we doing where we have got some power to issue the rights and so on to try and break those monopolies. It's not going to be an overnight thing, but we should be seen to be doing something and trying to deal with that. Let me try and deal with the question of the Director General. Let me start by saying that all of us were assumed innocent until proven guilty. An allegation becomes an allegation. Two, if there's a conflict of ideas or perhaps the way we think that things should be done and any other allegations which may be there, the ultimate arbiter in this country becomes the courts. So the Director General was suspended, and the Director General went to the ultimate arbiter, and the courts were of the view that the Director General must be re-instituted. So the Director General has been back, I think, for the past 3 weeks. He's continuing doing his work. So the allegations remain allegations until they are proven. I wouldn't like to get into that, but the courts have just taken back. The Director General is there. He's performing his duties. As I said at the beginning, the Director General is with the with the portfolio committee, as we are talking with the minister. That's where they are. I think I would like to leave at that, but then allow the colleagues to pick up on certain on the questions that the honourable members have raised. I think so that we are being systematic. DDG, Madam, you deal with the issues that we have raised and which came from the honourable members, and then you then allow fisheries also to deal with those issues which came from fisheries. Thank you, honourable chair.
Honourable DM, Honourable Chair, thank you very much, DM, for providing the lead. May I firstly latching on to what the DM has just said, indicate as follows in terms of responding to questions of honourable members.
Bring the mic a bit close.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair. In terms of, may I allege to what the DM has just said in terms of responding to questions, I would propose, Honorable Chair, that we respond to questions as follows because we are a team and we've got areas of specialization.
I will respond to the question on the title deeds, and I'll also respond to the question on which programs have been affected by the budget cuts. I'll ask Mem Chiza to respond to the issue of 5 projects in 6 provinces, as mentioned by earlier by Honorable Smith. I'll respond to the question on the district municipalities being reflected in our presentations, and also to the question on the filling of vacancies, and also if we need any other extra programs. There is then another question which DM has already responded to, Avila responded to, on the DG. There is a question on the West Rand Agricultural Institute. I think both myself and Mem Chiza will attempt to respond to that question. The issue of the Agri Park, the Western Oria Agri Park, Mem Chiza will respond to it. And then we have the question on Akita for inland provinces, focusing on the ocean's economy. Sue and Tim will respond to that question. Accessibility of information in terms of languages, I will respond to that. There's a question on the red meat story in Gauteng. Mem Chiza will respond to that. There is also another question on the 100 million that went to the land bank, Mem Chiza. Revitalization of colleges, whether it is happening in all provinces, Mem Chiza. And then we've got fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I will respond to that. We also have a question on cooperatives registered, but mostly dysfunctional. I will respond to that question. And we also have Gauteng College of Agriculture. I think two honorable members touched on this issue of the college. Both myself and Elder will deal with that. The issue of inland fisheries, Sue, I've already indicated. And then lastly, fisheries, the question asked by the Honorable Chair, fisheries industry, a no-go area. What is it that we are doing to crack this industry? And the issue of, I think Sue and Tim will respond to this. And then the question of inaccessibility of water to smallholder farmers. I will attempt to answer. Honorable Chair, let me start. The first question is on the title deeds. May I indicate respectfully to members that the issues of land and the allocation of title deeds, you know, to farmers and to landowners, is the responsibility of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. I must indicate, Chair, that we do have a relationship, a working relationship with the Department of Rural Development, and we have been working very hard to promote this relationship and to agree, because previously there was confusion on the ground, but then we agreed that going forward to really do away with the confusion that has been there. Let us agree. You, agriculture, you'll be responsible for this, and you, rural development, you'll be responsible for that. And the issue of title deeds is the sole responsibility of rural development. But what we can promise to do, because we have a relationship with rural development, we can share with your permission for this question to the acting DG, and then request that they respond invited. Then we do have the issue of reduction of budget. Honorable Chair,
It is true that we do have this very, very serious problem of budget. DAF as a department and DM here, my honorable DM, is already aware that one of the major problems facing the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries is budget cuts, you know, and insufficient budget. All in all, we've been having not adequate budget, but these budget cuts are making it even worse. And at one stage, we have had a negative impact on programs like Program 2 that I talked about earlier. I indicated to honorable members that this Program 2, which is called Agricultural Production, Health and Food Safety, is a very critical program which is dealing with our borders to ensure that our borders are tight enough, we don't have trans-border diseases, but even in situations where there are outbreaks, they are responsible to make sure that. So at one stage, really, this program like this was negatively affected. But I must indicate to honorable members that we have been making a repeated call to National Treasury to say, please, you know, come to our rescue, because if we allow programs like Program 2 to become dysfunctional, then we'll not have agriculture in South Africa. And I think National Treasury is beginning to listen to our cry, because I think in the previous financial year, Dr. Jafta is here, will help me, a small amount of money was made available to DAF, you know, particularly for Program 2. But all in all, Honorable Chair, I would indicate that the budget for the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries is generally inadequate, and this affects the performance of the department to an extent. I will ask my elder to deal with the 5 projects in 6 provinces.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mr. The question on aquaculture, the 5 projects in 6 provinces, I think the honorable member was actually quite observant on it. The 6 projects from the Free State, we did not factor them into the report because the team from our aquaculture experts decided to first engage with the province to finalize the final project for the Free State. So he is spot on. I should not have been 5 for 6 problems. With regard to the request that information should be provided also in detail reflecting the municipalities in future, we are taking note of that and we will do so, because we do have locations in which these activities are happening. Regarding there's a question around agri-parks and the agri-park in Western Area that is now falling apart. Our guidance to provinces when they engage on agri-park has always been that these need to be centers that are managed as a business entity and not necessarily dependent on the department or government to drive them. There's an indication that we have discussed with them around the business model to ensure effectiveness and continuous operations of these other parks. So we are continuing to engage them on the business model, because the work that goes into it, as centers that should be providing the support to producers around the area, their work goes beyond just receiving the production from farmers. It goes into identifying the markets, linking farmers to markets, preparing those produce, so farmers can actually get value from the agri-parks. So we have engaged the HOD of the province, and they have requested a follow-up meeting so that we can then look deeper into the business model of all the other parks in the province. Just also as the disclaimer is that the AgriPark program members would know was driven from a Department of Rural Development and Land Reform point of view in terms of the establishment of the park itself. Ours was the responsibility to ensure that the production on the farms that needs to supply those AgriParks is happening. But we are taking the responsibility because we can't divorce the two from each other. The question on the counterpart of Pakisa on inland provinces, Mr. Kobokwe has indicated that as agriculture, land reform, as agriculture, we together with land reform went on to a Pakisa to also drive opportunities and value for inland provinces. And a number of value chain initiatives were identified around red meat, horticulture, and grain. So provinces like your Limpopo were driving some projects around Nwanedi area where we are setting up pack houses and infrastructure to support vegetable production. We have also strategies where we are doing potato development in your Capricorn area. So there are quite efforts that are taken to advance commercialization of those farmers and ensure that they are not only producers but they participate along the value chain. We are also supporting your TEF loops as well as other areas where fish is being produced to ensure that there are centers where hatcheries for this fish could be developed to provide fish links to the small producers of aquaculture programs in provinces. Many of them are projects that you have seen being funded from CASP with the infrastructure they need for those operations. Around accessibility, we have within ERP funding that strengthens extension support. So we provide the resources for extension providers to access those remote areas in rural areas. So we do purchase cars for them, make sure that there's access for those roads that they cannot access and they have the correct vehicles to do that, but also because they speak the language so they can explain programs and assist our farmers with preparation of the farm plans as well as business plans. The red meat in Gauteng, yes, Gauteng is receiving the smallest of the budget of CAP, and as a result, because also they do not necessarily have the land area for livestock production, they have prioritized commodities like your piggery, where they provide input, and we regard it as white meat and not red meat. And then they focus mainly on grains as well as poultry. So from a provincial department's point of view, with the allocation they receive, they do not support red meat per se. Around the 100 million that has been sent to the land bank, yes, we are almost ready. We are now looking at the readiness of the banks itself to be able to respond to the applications that are coming in, but we would then make the final announcement to the DM and the minister to then launch formally, and that on its own will increase access for those who would not necessarily know about the program, and we would be satisfied that the land bank has formally informed all its entities around the program and they are also ready to respond to the application. Indeed, women, youth, and people with disabilities would be beneficiaries for the program to commercialize black farmers. The Agricultural College in Gauteng, I would request that this be provided to the committee in writing because I have an indication of what could have happened there, but I don't necessarily have the recent facts to share with the committee, but safe to say that this was an initiative started by the province, and from their feasibility they realized they cannot go forward with it. It was not a national department driven process, and if there's a request that national department must step on, I think based on the assessment that we have done in the country and looking at Gauteng with all its resources, I'm not sure what would be the outcome of that request if it were to be made. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The colleagues that are going to follow, please be very, very brief, because the Honorable Members are under time pressure. So just be brief and to the point. Let me, Honorable Chair, on the issue of the filling of vacancies, I think the Honorable Member has made a very good observation. We have put a moratorium on the filling of vacancies, and the reason for that is because we had very serious problems with our budget on compensation of employees. We had received communique from National Treasury to say, as a national department, there is a ceiling that has been put on our budget for compensation of employees. So if we were going to continue to fill in vacant positions, it was going to really put the department in a problem as far as that instruction from National Treasury is concerned. So we put a moratorium. I must indicate, Honorable Chair, that this is not working very well for us as a department, but we have an established task team in the department which is looking at this, which is trying to come up with a sustainable solution. The next question is on if we are satisfied with our programs. Honorable Chair, I will say that yes, so far we are satisfied with our programs as a department, but I must indicate we could do more if we had more resources. For example, one of the programs that we want to undertake as a department is to establish a database for farm workers. We don't have this database for farm workers. We know we have farm workers, but we cannot tell you exactly how many do we have and where do we have. We also have the issue of the Agricultural Institute in the Western. Honorable Chair, may I humbly request that we approach it with caution, because we do not have all the facts here. You know, it is a college initiative of the Housing Provincial Department. So if Honorable Chair would agree, we would contact the HOD's office and request a written response, because we don't want to misrepresent Gauteng. We do deal with the province, but you know, we have not recently talked about this matter. There might be additional information which we may miss out on that. So I will request that you grant us that one. May I request Sue, okay, before we do that, let me deal with fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Yes, we have had those cases in the department, but I can assure the Chair, Honorable Chair, and members that for every fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there has been a concerted follow-up by the department, and those officials that were involved in wasteful and fruitless expenditure were subjected to discipline. We do have records with our department which we can show to members of the select committee. And on the issue of the cooperatives, yes, Honorable Chair and members, we do have cooperatives which are registered, and we can finish the select committee with a report in terms of which cooperatives in the country have been supported and which ones have not been supported. But Chair, Honorable Chair, I want to acknowledge that a lot more
needs to be done in this area to support the cooperatives. Being an official in the Department of Agriculture, I myself am not satisfied of how much we have achieved in this area. Before I give over to the fisheries colleagues, there is a question on the fresh produce. How do we? Well, we do work with fresh produce, but they are not necessarily under our control. You know, they are an independent market institution, and but they are not necessarily under the control of the Department of Agriculture. I think the question which was asked relates to the whole question, which is always asked by honorable members, what is it that we are doing to ensure access of markets by smallholders? We are really trying our best. Earlier, Mem Chiza presented on the SA Gap certification program. The SA certification program, for example, is aimed at positioning smallholder farmers in terms of making sure that they meet all the required international standards on some of their products, so that when they go out to the markets, their products can be accepted. Let me, at this stage, allow Sue and Tim to respond to some of the questions.
Thank you, DDG, Honorable Chair, DM. I'll deal with the issue of new entrants and transformation in the allocation of fishing rights. And then I'll ask my colleague Andrea to deal with inland provinces under Operation Pakistan, the ocean economy, and then also briefly just to touch on where we are with inland. Perhaps, well, let me start and then Andrea, you can come in. Chairperson, you asked, well, you raised a very important point about we have an opportunity in a new right allocation process to address the issue of transformation and also the new entrants versus the big five monopoly companies dominate fisheries. And I think you're spot on, it is an ideal opportunity for us as a country to address this head on. Let me first say that I think we mustn't underestimate the impact of the rollout of the small scale fisheries program this year. For the first time in South Africa's history, we are going to formally recognize the small scale sector and allocate fishing rights, formal fishing rights to the small scale sector, which in our estimate is going to bring in about 10,000 entrants from previously marginalized communities who will form part of the small scale fishing sector. 96% of the 10,000 fishers are from previously advantage that group. So that is a significant change that we are really going to see in, within the fisheries sector. Then in terms of, I mentioned FRAP 2020, where there are 12 commercial fisheries that will be up for reallocation. And the regulatory framework there is that each of those 12 fishing sectors has a sector-specific policy. And as part of preparation for a rights allocation process, we need to review those policies. And we need to state up front what are our transformation profiles for those fisheries, what is our vision for those fisheries, where do we see them? Where do we want to see them going, and how do we want to see them managed in the future? So that process of reviewing those 12 sector-specific policies will begin in the second half of this year and will be the subject of extensive public consultation and request for input. So the public and will have an opportunity to input into those transformation agendas. Then also to say what we did in FRAP, with FRAP stands for the fishing rights allocation process, the recent one that we undertook in 2015 was that we categorized applicants. So we categorized applicants into three categories. The first category was those that were already existing rights holders or had been rights holders in the previous dispensation. So your the guys that were already in the system. The second category are those that had rights in other sectors but not in the fisheries in question. And then the third category would be what we call new entrants. Applicants who had never held fishing rights in any fishing sector previously. And the importance of categorizing them into those sectors is that you then are able to assess the big guys against the big guys. So you evaluating like for like, rather than making the new entrants compete against your INJs and your OCRs, which obviously and we have different weighting and criteria for those different categories. So that's a practical way in which we are encouraging new entrants into the fisheries.
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. The comment about the inland part of Ocean's economy I think was very on point. Obviously from the outset the ocean economy focused on the ocean's provinces, but in terms of aquaculture and our specific lab, our decision was to focus on aquaculture throughout South Africa, so that includes the inland provinces. So in terms of aquaculture, the full aquaculture and freshwater aquaculture is represented as part of our Operation Pakisa. Historically we have not had the freshwater aquaculture sector as part of our mandate in terms of fisheries, as it was largely marine focused. So there are a lot of interventions that are being done to incorporate and address the freshwater aquaculture sector. And this includes the Aquaculture Development Bill, which was recently approved by Cabinet, which includes freshwater aquaculture and creating an enabling environment in terms of freshwater aquaculture, but also ensuring that they fall under our regulatory jurisdiction. And then just briefly to mention about the inland fisheries, which is obviously different to the fish farming side of things. The department has developed a draft policy, inland fisheries policy, which we are shortly going to embark on a public participation process in all the provinces. I think at the moment it's planned for June, July. So all the provinces will be will form part of that process. Thank you.
Thank you very much, colleagues. Honourable Chair, and probably the last question relates to the issue of the language. Suffice to say, really, that this is a very, very important. And it's food for thought to all of us, honorable member. What is it that we do to ensure that we translate most of our important documents into other official languages to ensure that there is access to that information? I think it is an important question, which is actually telling us that we need to do something about that. Thank you, Madam
Chair. If I may just about two issues. One is the one that the DDG is talking about. I think it's language, honorable talk, it's one thing. But I think it's the department about communication in general. There are things which, although I've been in government, it took me to be at DAF before I know that. I've said to them that some of the best kept secrets that are keeping, which are not supposed to belong to them, supposed to go to the communities. So it's an area that you really need to check up on. That's one. And secondly, Honorable Chair, my colleagues in the department, when we talk about the budget cuts and so on, they say to me, welcome to the club, have the taste of your bitter medicine, because I'm coming from treasury. Because I'm coming from treasury. But again, I think it has got a lot to do with communication from the department. As a matter of fact, we are engaging with National Treasury and raising the red lights which are there if certain things don't happen. One of the things which is happening, Honorable Members, is that a lot of agricultural land is being turned to something else, whether forever applications, whether tending. And on the other hand, you find that the population which you must feed is increasing. So those two things don't talk to each other, and are the things that we're attending. If I may give just more light on the land bank, just to say to them, land bank resides under treasury, it's not with staff, which is a, but there's history to that. It went to National Treasury when it had some problems. But that's government. I always say it's government. For me, whatever department it doesn't matter that much. People deal with government. They don't deal with departments. These departments think it's ours. So we are trying to get a better working relationship, not just with the land bank, with DBSA, because DBSA is responsible for infrastructure. There's so much infrastructure that we need in agriculture to make it viable and make it the industry of the future. So we are engaging with them. Another thing, Honorable Members, is that agriculture funds, they are lying in many departments. You go to DTI, you find something agriculture. You go to rural development, you find agriculture. You go to economic development. So as a result, the impact of these funds, we don't get the maximum returns, social returns and economic returns that were. So also trying to see how do we best make sure that we, if we can't get them under agriculture, but we don't work in silos. What we are trying to do with this 100 million rand that we spoke about, land bank, is that especially with emerging farmers, when they go to land bank, right, and they look at their proposals, land bank will say, look, your numbers don't work. You won't be able to bring back the money, because one thing that we're talking about is that the land bank, most of the money, they go to the market to raise the money. And I expected to pay back that money, and there's some returns that is needed to them. So the developmental mandate of the land bank is not funded. It's not funded. So what we are doing with this money, the 100 million that we are giving to them, we're saying, okay, when the emerging farmers, small farmers come, black farmers, youth farmers, the women farmers, right, we use that as a grant portion so that you de-risk the project, right? So if you end up giving 80% of a loan, and you know that 20% of that through this fund that we are giving you is being taken care of. By so doing, you're trying to de-risk the project and allowing the farmer that ordinarily would not have qualified for funding from the land bank. So all those are types of initiatives that we are trying to work with to try and make that fund accessible to our people. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, honorable members of this subject. I hope we have to agree that the department should also, in writing, submit some. But if I look at our time, we are not doing well, honorable members. Can we agree with me to suppress further questions? And then we'll, on the aquaculture, we can utilize a Friday and go for oversight here in Cape Town, arrange with the secretariat and the department. I think that can also help us a lot, be it just the one day. That, okay. Honorable members, can you allow me to suppress even the burning ones? Are we together? Thank you very much. Let me just go to the budget vote. and I agree to read it and the question. Please, Honorable Sir. The Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources, having considered Budget Vote 24, an annual performance plan for 2018-2019 of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, reports that the committee has concluded its deliberations thereof. Can I request any mover and a seconder?
Chairperson, the last sentence, we didn't conclude, you suppressed that.
Thank you.
That one I was saying
any proposal in the second? Yes. Can you use your mic and sit, be on record? You don't have to.
Thank you. I propose.
Any second?
Honorable
Member? I'm seconding, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Let's go to the minutes before I thank the department. We have a set of minutes that was circulated. Anyone moving that?
Honorable. Yes, Chair, we've gone through the minutes and then through the reception. Here are the minutes.
For the
18th.
Okay. Right.
Honorable
is supporting, I mean is proposing. Any second of that?
I second, Chair.
Honorable Nam.
I was present at the meeting. My name is not here.
No, you had the alternative.
No, it was
Honorable Mfundisi, Honorable Beto. Thank you. It was Honorable Nita, supported by Honorable Nyambi. I will then hand over to the chair just to Oropaki Khab. The ministers.
Thank you, Chair. I'll talk to the honourable member after this. But I think for us, the issues that were raised very sharply by the committee are well considered. We've undertaken to come back on some of the things in writing that we'll do. And again, our sincere apologies for the late arrival of documents and. Management is here, this should not happen again. But thank you very much. And then say to the members, whenever we come to the committee, whether it's the Select Committee or the Portfolio Committee, for us, it's for us to get a mirror, because we are so much engrossed. So you are a mirror and you point out to those things, and for us it's to go and run with the things that the members are pointing out. And as I said at the beginning, not for the purposes of this, we'd like to further engage with the committee around the issues in the department and so on. We shouldn't just wait for this. The department, if the committee wants us, I think we are ready to come and make further presentations and engage and look at ourselves through you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, the department, honorable members, for deliberations. Despite the shrinking pairs, we are indeed seeing progress in this department. We really appreciate it, and we thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.